And now it's time to listen to the least heard podcast on the web, brought to you by the least read website on the web. It's time for the Gurgler Live. Your host, Derek Ottoman.
Alive. Wow, we have been away for a few weeks, but we're back with a vengeance, and this week it's my pleasure to introduce to you a special thanks for being here. Thanks for being here. This is, feels like the first show we'll ever again feel it's been that long.
Yeah, no, a bit of a World Cup coma sort of recovery, isn't it?
Oh, wow. I guess if we'll put it down as that, and rather than the technical issues we've been having, but or lack of funding.
Yeah.
When you say lack, I mean zilch.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to find some money to pay for our dollar a month website.
Wow. Hey, those
crowdfunding maybe.
Those dollars do add up, but Max, we might not have been on the air. The Gurgler Live might not have been in production, but I tell you what. That website is looking chock-a-block.
Yeah, there's always plenty to go up and always something to do and waste some time at.
What are some of the highlights on this week on the Gurgler.com?
Well, the weekly sporting wrap's back. Similar to the podcast, there was just no excuse. Possibly just a little laziness in the World Cup. What else we got? We got our own events, which we might discuss a bit later. We're featuring music, our top fives from the days, years, and that gone by. And a couple of new, or even more new stuff on the way. A Gurgler Classified and a Gurgler Shop.
Wow. Like, yeah, well, we've actually, funnily enough, the Gurgler.com is our major sponsor at the Gurgler Live, so we might hear a bit more about those later on. But, We've had World Cup fever last month, and dare I say, Max, that it's Commonwealth Games fever? Can I say that?
Yeah. Well, you could. It's more of a flu or something like that. When you mentioned World Cup coma, it seems that the Commonwealth Games and coma sort of would have been an excellent segue.
Well, it's almost as if the Commonwealth Games is a hangover, really. The hangover from the fever.
Yeah. It is a poor man's sporting event. I think we ran a poll earlier, or maybe late last year, and the Commonwealth Games did win as the most pointless sporting event in the sporting calendar.
Yeah, and look, if you're an athlete, you know, I think you'd feel duped a bit. I think, wouldn't you? You'd want to be competing against the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's good when you win some, but I mean, on the whole, it's not that exciting. And the fact that Channel 10. And not even Foxtel are showing it is a good indication that no one really cares.
I think I've got more enjoyment out of the crap interviews that Channel 10 have produced in their star, in inverted commas, of Thorby, and their array of, well, they've got a lot of non-sports type people on their telecast, and it's just shit.
They fly over the cast of Wonderland to give their little take on the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, they should.
They should have, shouldn't they? I was just thinking to myself that leave it up to Usain Bolt to sum up the Commonwealth Games pretty fairly.
that was just a bit shit.
It's just a bit shit. No, it's not really shit. It's not that bad. It's just a bit shit, and what a perfect thing to Usain Bolt.
I'm sure we're gonna have a bit of, we're gonna have more to say about Commonwealth Games later.
Well, we might have some ideas on how to jazz it up and.
Wow, and I didn't introduce it. I wanted the people just to hear it as a surprise, but that's actually the last installment of the Choose Your Crap Hypothetical theme, Max.
Mm. Yep. We're going all democratic. We've played the four now, and we'll choose the one that we like best.
Oh, well, you know, the viewer can make his vote, or his or her vote.
Yeah,
which of course
we'll still pick one we like.
But, Max, you brought up the certain word, sizzle. And, look, this week's hypothetical is certainly getting our brains into the sizzle gear.
Yeah, well, I know we're in the theme of Commonwealth Games, and if there's any event on Earth that needs sizzle, it's the Commonwealth Games, as if you've seen any of it. So we thought, given the power, let's think of a few events that we could add to the Commonwealth Games.
And what have you come up with, Matt?
Well, given that Channel 10 have taken over the coverage, I thought, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this Sunday, what a perfect opportunity to bring in it's a knockout decathlon,
well,
10 of their finest events.
If only we were getting paid by Channel 10. Oh, what a wonderful segue. What a great show it was. Billy J. Smith and Fiona McDonald. Can we bring them back to commentate it? Are they presenting the medals?
What over?
Would they be commentating, or would they be presenting medals there, Max? Of Fiona and Billy J.
Billy J. Smith would have to be involved in some kind of capacity, and especially voiceover work, because he still sounds the same,
yep,
and still looks the same.
Yeah.
But no, we don't need Fiona McDonald
or
Jackie Leworth, whichever one.
Or to a lesser extent, her sister Jackie, yeah. That's true.
They're both leased. But as long as it included that dragon head game, you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course it did.
And the plank that goes up and down on the wheels, that one. Those two must be included.
And it's gotta start with the lily pads in the water, surely.
Oh yeah, and the giant heads.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Oh, then the one where they just gotta pour water in that spinning circle.
Wow,
there's five events straight off the top of our heads.
I think scrap all the other sports
Penguins.
And just have It's a Knockout, Commonwealth Games.
Oh, wow, just scrap the Commonwealth Games and just have It's a Knockout with the Commonwealth Nations.
Wow.
And coincidentally, the next one is on the Gold Coast where the original series was shot.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be better than shooting.
Well,
cycling.
I mean, I can accept and understand, you know, the rifle thing, you know, there's a bit of skill and whatever involved, and, you know, you've got the biathlon and the military that mixed up, and it's pretty skillful, but air pistol shooting, Max? Air pistol shooting? Really?
Ah, please. Yeah, I mean, that's seriously juveniles do.
And, well, I mean, what else have we got?
Well, just quick, I thought 10-pin bowling.
Well, I am going to bring you up here, Matt, because, I mean, you know how much respect I have for you for bringing up some hypotheticals and bringing back some things, but I am going to drop some knowledge that might blow your mind. Did you know, in the 1998 Commonwealth Games in Kuala Lumpur, 10-pin bowling was actually a sport?
It wasn't.
There you go.
It wasn't.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Who won it?
I wonder, who won it?
Who would be a powerhouse in bowling?
Well, believe it or not, because, I mean, as you do with invitational sports, you know, whoever the host country is can introduce a few sports. So it was, you know, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. You wouldn't think, why would you have an invitational sport or if you couldn't perform well in it? And out of the six, correct me, five gold medals that was on offer, Malaysia won two, and, you know, good old Australia won the rest, not won the other three. So, yeah.
Go back, Chadley, I know, Boats.
For three goals.
Now, you mentioned five medals.
Yeah. So, would you like the categories?
Okay, so there's male and female.
Yes.
Okay, what's the other three?
Well, believe it or not, doubles is a big thing in 10-pin bowling. So, you've got the men's, I mean, you can round it off, and that's all I have to say. So, you've got the men's and women's doubles, and then you've got actually mixed doubles. And,
okay, well, I asked a question, I received an answer.
Yeah, and when I say three, we won three gold medals. One Australian in particular, and she was a part of all three of those gold medals. So her name was Cara wow. Honeychurch, and she won the women's singles, the women's doubles, and the mixed doubles. And I could say she did it all on her own, but she didn't. But there you go. So she was a powerhouse in swimming and bowling in 1998.
Oh well, there you go. Not only is it, you know, is it exciting and deserves to come back, we could actually win at it. So
well, that's
tick that box, of course.
Oh well, you know, and I thank you for bringing it up, because I know that you would have had no idea that was actually a sport. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been in the hypothetical. But I can almost guarantee the next sport hasn't been in Com Games.
No, and it should. Now, it might be controversial to the Trebuchet fans out there, but I think we're going to go and try introduce catapulting.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And I can see where the confusion would be, and maybe disappointment on that. I mean, yeah, you'd have to. What's the definition? What's the difference there, Max?
Well, not enough to really be that much different, but I mean, catapulting, you need to put it into that little cup thing and fling it, whereas I think the trebuchet, a bit more of a slingshot at the end of it. That's my understanding from basic civilization, computer game knowledge.
Etymology would be the term. Well, look, I'm sure, just like, you know, down near where I live, you know, being a windy place, you have, you know, windsurfing, kite surfing. And you would think that, you know, two of them, being a layperson, you know, two of them are pretty similar. They pretty much do the same thing, but you've never seen them.
Welcome back.
Is that a word? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, that's what I think so. Yeah. Good enough.
Now, the other question I would like to ask for this one, Max, is the size. Like, how big are we talking about for the catapults to be?
As big as possible.
Oh.
Limited to maybe 100 ton.
100 ton. Wow. And how many people are permitted for each team?
Three.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, we start off with like a rock, and then you just up the weight, like weightlifting, to a bus, and then onwards and upwards.
You'd need a lot of space for that, I'd say.
It's gonna take some room. I mean, you could even do a jumbo jet. I'd say Malaysia Airlines are gonna have a few left over soon when they go broke.
Oh, boom. I'm actually flying Malaysia Airlines in the next 2 weeks, too, so. Yes.
Are you?
Yes, I am. That's a guaranteed fact, that is. But and there's a lot of concern from this side of the country,
what?
I tell you that. But catapult.
You might get a fair bit of leg room.
They just keep.
I don't think anyone else will join. They all cancel their flights.
Well, I'm surprised. Like, I paid about as much as I did for the flights. But and speaking of flames, that brings us on to the next sport as well.
Yeah, definitely. I thought brandy. Good old schoolyard game. What a perfect opportunity. Urban brandy around the Gold Coast, up and down Cavill Mall, into Ripley's, believe it or not.
What a great...
You're allowed to go through Ripley.
Now, could we introduce, like, some certain scenarios? Maybe like the Saturday morning at 3 a.m. scenario, where you'd have to dodge and weave all the drunken revelers and the drunkards having fights.
Yeah.
And then you would have...
Well,
you'd have the flaming scenario as well.
Well, you would for the night time too, you know, like, you know, they try and have a different colour for night time football, and yeah, brandy at night at the Cavill Avenue at 3 a.m. past all the late night entertainment venues, aka strip clubs, would be, yeah, light the tennis balls on flames.
I like it a lot. And the other one is also rounding out a bit of the oldie feel to it.
Well, I mean, we're going with a Commonwealth feel. I mean, it's the British's fault that we have to put up with it, so maybe bring back some of those good old times. And I thought maybe jousting. Bring the horses, get the horses involved. Jousting.
I mean, and can I go one step further and say, you know, because maybe...
Flutes.
I don't know how big jousting is currently, but could we do it with current jockeys? I would like to see little guys have go.
Yeah. Well, do it with whatever you like. I'll leave you in charge of the GF, the golf club.
Oh, you'd have the turf
down
club
there. Again.
Maybe Magic Millions.
What do you mean?
Weekend.
Yeah.
What a wonderful crap hypothetical. I'm sure there's...
You think it's going to have a come off going from the... How good is the Gold Coast going off going to be if they're included?
Look, you know, I still, actually, Max, I still cringe. Because I still don't... I almost have to pinch myself in disbelief to say with the Gold Coast. I mean, Melbourne didn't hold them that long ago, did they? So, you know.
Yeah.
It's... I don't know. It's a definitely a dying sort of thing, unless you just probably end it, really.
No one wanted to host them. I think Gold Coast are up against some place in Sri Lanka I've never heard of.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think, you know, someone, there's a periodical that did a comparison for the gold medals at the Commonwealth Games. Wouldn't even get on the podium at an Olympics. And, you know, I think it's like the little athletics of the international. Derek Ottoman, Joe the Lie. You know, with the Commonwealth Games currently on, we can just remember some of the golden times of past Commonwealth Games. And here at the Gurgler Live, we have the Gurgler Shop, and where you can purchase some of those memories to have for life. The first one, buy yourself a piece of Australian gold. Buy yourself a Matilda's Wing. Max?
Yes, Matilda's Wing is a 3D hologram of the wink itself, signed by Matilda, 50 only, at $399.
Wow, that's value. Now, we think if we stick close to the shore as well, I'm sure we can, and we go back to all of them. And what do we have there, Matt?
Well, we have a signed portrait with inbuilt audio of all seconds of the 10,000 metre event with one of the spikes signed by Andrew Lloyd himself. We only got 200 of these at $199.
That's fantastic value.
Isn't it?
And now, probably one of the finest moments in Australian Commonwealth Games history. We bring Geek's Marathon in.
Oh yes, wasn't it? And to celebrate the best, we have our best product. And it's a limited edition half-scale model of the moustache of Robert DiCostella, set against a UBD from 1982 with a highlighted map of the route. We've only got 100 of these, and it's only
$42. $42? Wow.
Yeah, that's a dollar. It's a dollar per kilometre.
Oh. Wow. And if, look, this value, you just can't, you can't beat this value. And so, log on to thegurgler.com for some of that gold.
Gold.
And there it was. That was a new thing that the Gurgler.com have introduced. They've introduced the shop, and there's some great value there, Matt.
Yeah, isn't there? You can just see some of that stuff soaring in value.
Oh, you know, especially that, you know, Deeds Marathon. I mean,
I mean, it's still one of the quintessential Australian sporting memories.
Oh, you know, it just... That, I mean, you know, where were you when Terps died, you know? Where were you when the Geeks won the marathon? I mean, you know, they're just sort of those moments in Australian history.
Yeah, definitely.
But this week's Rugby League news, Matt.
Yep, and we're allowed to talk about Papua New Guinea again, thank God.
A win.
A win, not just one, but two. We missed the two in a row.
Oh, wow. Can we say that it is actually our jinx? Can we put money on they're actually going to lose this weekend? Because we've spoken about
it. Yeah, well, there's every chance, and they're playing the North Devils up there in Kapoko. But they gave the Burley Bears a hiding last week, 56 points to 12.
Wow.
It's always points in a Papua New Guinea game, you can be guaranteed of that.
Hello, I am Pedro Chavez. We're doing very well at Pedro Chavez Morris, and as you can tell, we can now afford some background music to our ads. Oh, Pedro's doing very well for himself. Feels good, doesn't it? Well, due to our windfall of our success, we are now selling a whole range of 2002 Toyota Tarago X-Rentals for just a low $1,300. Coincidentally, that is also 13, the amount of times I failed to pre-qualify for any of my 13 Grand Prix entries. Yeah. Now, I don't worry about them. Now I settle for Tarragos, and so should you, Pedro Chavez Motors. If there's better, then do it.
This week in AFL news, you know, we're approaching the finals, and some of the, you know, as with all the codes, you know, you have some really cracked games, you know, the ones in the top four, you know, all playing each other and all trying to get their last few spots, and, you know, it's just getting pretty exciting. What's not exciting is the amount of West Coast Eagle coverage that we get over here, and I mean, for a two-team city, you know, still pretty biased, and it just gives me the absolute shits, but, oh, look, you know, my team, Melbourne, go up against Brisbane this weekend, so, that's where...
Talk about cycling, it wasn't the what Tour de France great.
Yeah, look, Max, I have to admit that, in recent years, I haven't been watching, and,
Well, the website named it the Meh of the Week, yeah. Tour de France.
Yeah, because, look, even though, you know, now it's been, you know, obviously everyone knows about Lance Armstrong now, but geez, it's exciting, you know, I mean, you call it exciting sport. And before him, you know, one of our favourites, Tyrrell Hamilton, he was one of the first that was uncovered for his drugs, and that was pretty disappointing from my side, but,
I am Alexander, founder of comparedtomeerkats.com. I also founded thegurgler.com, where we compare forgotten sporting heroes, talk sport, and tipping sport. But many people lately have come to our side looking for sporting people's misbehaving. I cannot give you information about bubbling. For crap fan tales and crap sporting articles, please come to thegurgler.com. For crapping in hotels and urinals into your mouth, please contact nrlgurgler.com. Simples.
Welcome back to the Gurgle Live, and look, you know, without being on the air for a few weeks, we've missed a few races, Max.
Yeah, we have. But happily for fans of our website, which will be as many as fans of this podcast, we've got one of our old authors back, Perry Thrust, who on the website sums up the Formula One in point form only. But that's what you want.
Oh, yeah.
On the website, we unfairly say that it's unlike Luca Badoa, who never got points.
Yeah.
And also Pedro Chavez, but he never actually qualified for a race.
Wow.
Yeah. Or he never pre-qualified for a race either.
He certainly deserved it, though.
Oh, didn't he? But he's doing well with his dealership, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Well, that's doing a good job there. Isn't it? Yeah, selling lots of Tarragos, I hear.
What else do we have, Matt?
Well, yeah, the Formula One, Dan Ricciardo, fantastic win. He's won two races now, and he looks ever more the real deal.
Yeah, doesn't he? It was a good win. It was an entertaining race, that one. I must
admit. It was. All three of them pretty entertaining. I mean, in Hungary, we had, you know, battles all through, you know, the field, and even, you know, the fact that Ricciardo had to pass no less than Hamilton and Alonso, you know, in the last few laps to win the race.
Yeah.
You don't see many overtakes for wins, and Ricciardo's done it twice now.
Yeah. Although on a different strategy. That's for sure.
Yeah, although he's on a different strategy, you still got to do it. And our old friend from the past, Mark Webber, would have spent 50 laps behind them, even if he had a faster car.
He really used to take his chances.
We love Webber, but Ricciardo seems to find ways to win, and Webber found ways to disappoint.
That's why we love him.
Yeah, and there's the Mercedes benefit Germany, and Britain was another fantastic race. That one's passed since we've last been on the air, and that was won by the Ham.
Yeah.
Giving the home fans what they want.
Yeah.
A spectacular crash at the beginning with Kimi Räikkönen.
And as we led into it, look, we've got a pretty interesting and a pretty topical point of play this week, Max.
Yeah, I thought, well, you know, Commonwealth Games, so we sort of, we always tend to base it around one thing or another. This week's Commonwealth Games, and we thought, well, how's about we go back through the archives and think of the best mascots.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, I can only think of one from Commonwealth Games, and then you think Olympics, and you think, oh, there's always World Cups and here or there. So, you know, we've got a selection of five, but there's always room for more. Oh, you know, jump on the website. And go to our email address, gurgler.chat@gmail.com, if you can think of a better mascot, but I don't think you will.
Who have you got, Matt?
Well, first up, and the greatest, blockiest mascot of all time is Chow, the Italian 90 World Cup mascot.
Chow.
You remember it?
Of course I do.
Mm.
Especially the way he was represented in the Windows 386 game, Italian 90.
Yeah. yeah. Wasn't that quality.
Oh.
But just see the way the movements for a man made purely of blocks and having a soccer ball for a head. Fantastic movement and ball control.
And he lived on a bit of Chow. And look, I must admit, I've seen him pop up now and then. I think it might have been stolen brand. Like, there's a few brands out there, but if you sort of spin through it, you actually see Chow. You see, it must have been inspiration, which says a lot for the quality of those companies. The next one is a favourite of, again, of all Australians.
Yeah, and we mentioned it in the Gurgler shop before. I mean, there has to be a quintessential Australian one. That's Matilda.
Oh, that's
okay. Never before has the world seen a more perfect 100-foot giant kangaroo that all who can do is wink.
And I think
it's as simple as you.
More famous as Matilda herself is where she ended up.
Yeah, but isn't it some servo at the Gold Coast?
Cades County, Wet and Wild.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, Cades County, that was when we grew up, that was what it was called, and later became Wet and Wild, but,
Wow, you've saved that for gold. Cades County.
Yeah. There we go.
Wow.
That's my whole show right there.
If you've said nothing else, you've earned your pay tonight. Yeah. Cades County.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And, and we're staying in Australia for the next one, Max.
Yeah, well, I thought, not quite a tournament, but I mean, everyone in Australia could probably remember the Expo 88 Platypus.
Yeah, definitely, and with the slouch out of Coobra, and I'm doing this pure from memory now, because it was around the time, so 88, just a couple of years after Crocodile Dundee, so, Australiana was the big thing, what was his name? Ostentatious with his Don Lana and things like that, but the platypus. And I mean, Expo 88, as an Australian, Generation X, all white Australian, is synonymous, with growing up in Australia.
And who didn't have a 3-day pass?
Oh, who didn't? Exactly right.
Who didn't have a 3-day pass?
Yeah.
Mad. Couldn't fit it all in one day.
I know. Before we go, just reminisce all about our great moment from Expo 88. Who's next for you?
I was just thinking we could think maybe in there down the track our favourite pavilion from Expo 88.
Oh, there we go. Jeez, the reason why I love these shows, Max, is because the next show almost writes itself during the previous show.
Yeah, yeah. Except I have to go back and listen to it because I can't remember what crap I talk.
That's a bit better than writing it down.
Yeah. So a couple more recent ones. The robot-looking sort of cartoon characters that sort of look big, like penises, Wenlock and Mandeville.
Yep. And
they're memorable for their, what's the word, is how bad modern sort of life has got.
Yeah.
That's considered a mascot.
Yeah. You know, someone got paid money to come up with that, Max, and that's the sad part of it.
Yeah, it's like the people that, are paid $1 million to change the ANZ Bank logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. I mean, who cares?
That's just...
But I thought, we can't just have all the cute ones. We thought we'd throw, for those modern art fans, Wenlock and Mandeville,
I'm just...
What else? Yeah, you go.
No, I've got, it does incorporate a bit of truth, but of course, you know, one doesn't have to think back too far to the Simpsons episode when Ken Brockman talks about mascots and he talks about the Atlanta game What's It, which was which was actually true. That's what the
What's It?
Nickname was Izzy or Itzy, but it was the What's It. And the other one he brings up is. Is the vampire from the Montreal game in 1976, but
Lord.
Well, the thing about it is, and whether or not it was part of the charm, part of the humour of The Simpsons, well, but it wasn't actually in real life. In reality, it wasn't a vampire; it was actually a beaver. But I guess sort of if you ever had. That was the first thing that came to mind, a Simpsons episode. As with a lot of things in life when I walk around, the first thing I think of is how it refers to a Simpsons episode.
That's good memory.
And so do you have a final one there, Max?
Yeah, but I only picked this one purely on name. Actually, I have no idea what it is, and I can't even remember it as when I was researching for this, and I thought, what a great name, Muck Muck.
Muck Muck.
Yeah.
Muck has I don't even know if it would be his or her, but Muck has its own website. You can go to muckmuck.com and see what Muck does post games. And I think that's pretty sad.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's glass houses and rocks talking about them. Why the hell would anyone want to go to that rubbish website? But why the hell would anyone want to care what Muck Muck's doing?
Well, that leads into. I'm glad you said who cares about that, because I've got a lot of things. I've got something for you, Max.
Oh, please.
And it's the Crap Fantail Hall of Fame. And look, it's somewhat special, and who cares what this person is doing? But if you don't care. We're actually going to tell you what that person is doing. And so, we're launching this week's Crap Fantail.
Ow!
Yeah, so this week's Crap Fantail, and, it's something special. Someone special, I should say. You know, and it has been a few weeks, obviously, since we haven't been on the air, and, you know, before we did, have that hiatus, you know, we're sort of delving back into some, I mean, we had Garrett Morgan, you know, he was in sports, and then we had, it was Gibbo, wasn't it? Was that next one?
Yeah, I think so.
So keep your mind in that headspace of Gibbo, and we can also talk game shows, we can talk old game shows, you know, we spoke about, Pressure Luck, and I think that actually that was one of the episodes that didn't get to wear.
It was a good conversation, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it's
lost the ages.
I don't know if many other of the listener knows this, but you and I have actually met this Crap Fantail. And so it's a kids game show from the 80s.
Michael Tun.
Did he actually host the game show, or did he just on Triple J?
I just thought it was Michael Tun.
Actually, he did the afternoon show after James Valentine, did you know that? Remember that more ABC from 5 to 6?
He never looked that interested in what he was showing, though.
Who, James Valentine or Michael Tun?
No, neither.
Exactly right.
Here's your cartoon kid, now piss off, I'm going to have a bong.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, that was his attitude, for sure. Maybe the last clue is that his sidekick was probably just as well, if not more known than what he was. And,
okay, well, you're sort of narrowing it down to two now.
Yes, I
No, no, no. No, one's an adult game show with a sidekick that's more famous.
Oh, Dexter.
Yeah.
But no, it's not Greg Evans, but I'd love him if it was, but it's not.
Okay, so it has to be, it might be hidden here, is there lines and positions that
you
need to
learn? Oh, there sure is. Give it to me.
No, you say it's yours.
Line 3, position 2, like me.
Oh, wow. That's a generous round of applause for an excellent crap fantail.
Wow, and, well, you know, you could almost, you know, you bring it back to Mike Mead and you go, you know, he could be like an R.A. dead, he really could, but he's not. He's not dead, and he's not on When Are You Dead, because I'm telling you, we've got something special at the Gerber.
Oh, wow.
And we've introduced, well, not so much introduced, but we're expanding the horizons at thegerber.com, and we're going into a bit of promotional work. And we're running a special event against two favourites, really. Mike Mead being one.
Oh, of course.
And the other one. And he's going to be in a boxing match with the one and only Rob Ruff.
Rob Ruff. Bum bow.
Yeah, the servo says. Wow. You know, and go to thegerber.com, check out the poster, all the information's there, Max. But, you know, what a night that's going to be.
Are they fighting for the mullet weight division?
They should. Oh, if it's not the mullet, it's the perm.
And I hope there's a good... Da, 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 da.